Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. I'm glad you could join me today. And as I've been waiting before the Lord, I was thinking of that scripture that Paul gave in his last epistle to Timothy, 2 Timothy, the third chapter. He says very clearly in verse 16 and 17 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And of course, he was writing to Timothy, who he had raised up in the faith, as it were. But those verses apply to all of us. That's why God has given us scripture, not only to show how greatly he loves us, but also when we are walking in a way that we shouldn't, when we turn to the left or to the right, or we need correction or reproof, the Word of God is very clear to show us where we have fallen and what we need to do. And as we repent, we can come back to the Lord and all of our sins. He's faithful, John says, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to forgive us our sins. And so we know from the Word of God that we're living in very perilous times, and judgment shall begin at the house of the Lord. And my heart has been burdened for those who perhaps once walked with God, but they've grown lukewarm, or they've turned aside back into the world. Does that mean God does not love them or His hand is not on them? No. But beloved, we have a situation today that multitudes are in the valley of decision. And what the choices that we make, because God has given us free will, He will not transgress our free will. We have the opportunity to choose Jesus as Savior or to reject Him. We have the choice to serve the Lord with all of our heart, or we can be a halfway Christian, walking in carnality, just wanting the benefits of salvation, but really not wanting to pursue much of anything else. And so all of us are being searched by the eyes of the Lord. The Word tells us the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to prove Himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. And one of the mandates of this ministry, aside from preaching the message of salvation and the gospel of Jesus, is to see that God's people come into a place of maturity, of consecration, of dedication. It's not an easy message, because people, the very nature of man is that they are happy to do just as little as is required. I mean, if they can say a salvation prayer and be saved from the terrors of hell, they're quite willing to do that. But whether it means inconveniencing themselves or denying themselves, taking up their cross, then that's another matter. But God is dealing with His people today. And I'm thinking of that passage in Exodus. You know, these were God's chosen people. He brought them by the hand of Moses out of Egyptian bondage. He showed great signs and wonders, not only in Egypt, my goodness, parting the Red Sea when thousands of people walked across on dry land, the mighty miracles that God did. He provided manna in the wilderness. He gave them quail to eat. And when Moses went up into the mount, the people got impatient. And I'm looking at some verses now in Exodus, the 32nd chapter. And in verse 26, we see that Moses makes a declaration. Aaron had, I just love how the wording of it is. In verse 24, I said unto them, whosoever, this is Aaron speaking, hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Even then, he was making a declaration. Who will serve the Lord with all of their heart? Or who prefers to go whoring after other gods as those that had willingly done that? And he asked that question, and he said, let him come unto me. And all the sons, of course, there was rebellion going on, all the sons of Levi, the priests, gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. There fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. And in verse 30, he says, you sinned a great sin. Now will I go up unto the Lord, peradventure I shall make atonement for your sin. So they had a choice, in spite of all the mighty miracles they saw, to follow after the way of flesh, to follow after the gods of the heathens, and to worship the golden calf. And so even today, beloved, we have a choice to make. We have opportunities to either serve the Lord or we're going to turn our back on Him. This happened to the people of God. And I want to share with you from the Word of God another situation in the Bible where we see someone who had been called of God, who had been used of God, turned aside for the wages of unrighteousness. And I'd like to share just a few portions of scripture just to give you a kind of a running commentary. In the book of Numbers, it says, the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. So there they were, right close to the promised land. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was so sore afraid of the people. So to avoid reading many verses, basically his idea was he sent for a prophet, and that was Balaam, the son of Beor, gave a message to him and say, behold, there's a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. And so he was aware this man had authority, he had power, and so he was willing to pay him and promote him to great honors if he would come. And the amazing thing is this Balaam was indeed a prophet of the Lord. He spoke the word of the Lord, as we will see. And so he invited his guests. He said, stay here this night. I'll bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And Balaam said unto God, Balak has sent unto me, saying, behold, there was a people. And he repeated what he said. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, neither shalt thou curse the people, for they are blessed. And so this back and forth occurred. They departed. And so obviously the Moab was not happy with that. And he said, he sent other messengers in verse 17, I will promote thee, speaking to Balaam, unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. And then he says, but just stay here tonight and see what maybe the Lord will say to me. Anyway, the bottom line is, yes, God permits him to go, Although in verse 22, God's anger was kindled because he went. You see, he knows our hearts. He knows what's in our hearts. And then, of course, we have the famous story of his very familiar beast of burden, his donkey, spoke to him. It says, "The Lord opened the mouth of an ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And, of course, then he sees an angel of the Lord, and the Lord opens the eyes of Balaam. He sees the angel, and in verse 33, he says, "The ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now I had also slain thee and saved her alive." So, and the story goes on that Balaam finally arrives with Balak, and he builds seven altars, and they offer seven rams and seven oxen. And basically, as much as Balaam would have liked to have cooperated with Balak, every time he opened his mouth, it was blessings for Israel. And in verse 19, he says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? And hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them." Well, my time has flown, and we're just sort of laying a brief review of what occurred as recounted in the book of Numbers, and we're going to go on and look at some lessons that Scripture teaches us we should learn from the life and the ministry of Balaam. I thank you so much for joining me, and you know, sometimes we just want to hear pleasant, easy words, but that's why I said God, when necessary, will correct us. There's no son that he has that he does not chasten. And so we need to examine our hearts, examine our lives to make sure that we are walking in a way that is pleasing to God. If you're struggling in any area, I invite you to write. This ministry has been raised up for decades to stand as a partner in prayer with God's people. I dearly love being able to pray for the needs that come in. Should you email, I invite you to share your mailing address so I could personally respond to you. However, I will confirm receipt and will, of course, pray. I love you. I thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.